Hello, everybody. Welcome to Android App Addicts, episode 514. This is Door to Door Geek, your weekly show all about Android, Android applications, hardware, software, and whatever is going on. This week is just Door to Door Geek. Eric Ardini is on the road on business. After all, he is the manager. That's what managers kind of do. Mark is taking his seldom celebrated but needed vacation break with the family away, him and the girls. I want to say five girls. I don't know. I just know he's much better person than I. Five girls. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be sane. We missed a week, and then we have a week here where I'm going to first and foremost go over something that we normally don't really go over in this show. And I'll say it's just me here, so, you know, that's what you'll have when it's just me. It is the three reasons. I knew it was an odd number. Couldn't remember the number. The three reasons why people say Google was slapped with an enormous $5 billion fine by the EU, which to Google is not enormous. Perspective is everything. For you, swimming fast is what to a Olympic gold medalist is not fast whatsoever. Perspective is everything. So the fine isn't really much at all. It's just a point that they're trying to make. Now, here's the thing. If we take a look at the actual three reasons, everybody gives you deductions on the reasons. Instead of just giving you, the listener, the viewer, the partaker in this thing, you don't hear the three reasons until people already give their opinions. Well, here are the three reasons why Google's been slapped with this fine. Number one, requiring manufacturers to pre-install Google's browser and search apps for access to the Play Store. Well, we long-term Google Android users, I would almost say come to expect that. So that is something I can say. I agree with that sentence, but that's just the sentence. Okay. Reason two, paying manufacturers to exclusively pre-install Google search. They were giving manufacturers money to install their application. I think that's a pretty fair practice type measure. That's just me. Okay. Number three, preventing manufacturers from selling devices running alternative versions of Android. I wouldn't be shocked that Google is doing that. I'm not going to say I'm for it or against it. Okay. Now here's the whole thing. I think the thing we have to first think about when we think about these three reasons why Google was slapped with this by the EU is we have to look at the actual intent of the law and then Google's intent. And I hate using that word so frequently, but I'm going to use it on this show. Intent is what I think is driving this thing. We all know and understand the letter of the law. Do we understand the spirit of the law? To understand both, I think, is to understand the laws are itself. You can't just judge one without taking into account the other. Okay, number one. That was a lot to say by myself. Hi, Mark. Take it easy, Eric. Requiring manufacturers to pre-install Google's browser and search apps to access the Play Store. Okay, you have to look at intent. And my intent is undetermined. They could just be putting this in to better the experience of the end user, the intent. Or the intent could have been all along to try to think about some sort of lock-in play, like the AMP pages had to be thought of years ago or something to that effect. You have to prove intent. So that one I'm independent on. Paying manufacturers to exclusively pre-install Google. What do you want them to offer? properties? Parties? I don't know. So I'm okay with them offering them money. Preventing manufacturers from selling devices. I can understand me as a company deterring Google from offering other versions of Android just to push my own version of Android, which I would think would be a fair practice. I don't know if they've been actually preventing. That's all in the verbiage. So I'm not sold on this one as well. At least from what I know about Google, from what I read about Google, from what I hear about Google, from what I experience about Google. Intent is what I think is we have to get down to in the bottom of this EU thing. But either way, it's not a big thing. Okay, Microsoft faced very similar measures. People who are actually old remember when this happened, and we remember what we thought was going to happen, which was the split up of Ma Bell, which didn't happen. So it is what it is, what it is, what it is. This is just another incarnation of it. Instead, it's Google at the back end of it. Is Google guilty of this? It's hard to say. Are they completely innocent of this? Absolutely not. I do think companies of this magnitude, of this scope of this girth do have to be measured and held accountable for what they do long term to people, society, culture, technology, everything involved. So I'm okay with them being questioned about it. We're going to go now to actual apps, because that's all I really have for news. Hardware, nothing really is getting me thinking except this one thing. Okay, I have a Huawei Honor 8, which is a good device, really solid device. I got a D brand skin on it. I've dropped it more than a couple times. The thing survived like a champ. It works pretty good. It works very good for the price, considering it's well over a year old. And I'm starting to get itchy for a new device. I've looked at Swappa. Here's the one thing I've noticed. If I go to my favorite search engine of choice for hardware, which is GSM Arena Advanced Search, the gimmick is you have to know your carrier's frequency bands that are used. So all I do is I just go to Google and type T-Mobile LTE bands, I believe is what I type. And it just gives me the numbers right there. I just go back to the other tab in my browser, GSM Arena Advanced Search bands, pick the right bands, go through to completion. What I am reminded of when I go there is how my phone is not T-Mobile 100% compatible. There are bands that T-Mobile uses that my phone uses and vice versa. So I'm not getting full speeds on my device. Yet I still use 50 plus gigs a month. Literally 2 months ago, I used 69 gigs. I use data still. But when I go put in only the bands that completely are T-Mobile compliant, there's very small limited number of devices, including, of course, Samsung Galaxy devices. OnePlus devices are 100% compatible. That really reminds me of how I was on my first OnePlus One and how good of an experience that was on that device. So I'm not counting out OnePlus as being a next device in my arsenal of history of devices. But I'm not sure. I know I'm not switching carriers. T-Mobile is where it's at. I don't have full compliance now. I have a fine experience. Should I full compliance be that much weighing on my next choice? I'm not sure yet. I will say it is made aware to me at least now. So it is what it is. First app I'm going to bring to the show is an app called Knights of Pen and Paper Plus One. I believe this is the second version of the game. Let me take a peek here. Forgot I got it. Talk and do all the video transitions at the same time. Knights of Pen and Paper Plus One. So yeah, this is the second one. Really interesting, really different. Sorry, I had to mute that for the live people, who, aka 1% of you. This game is a different game viewpoint on the D&D spectrum of gaming. The D&D verse of gaming is turn-based, community, roll dice, make choices, level up, power up, strengths, weaknesses, intelligence, wisdom, dexterity, all that. This is a video game form of that, where the game is you sitting around the table. Literally, you're sitting around the table, but the background is changing, like your imagination is changing. I love the idea of this game, is what I'm going to say first and foremost. I am infatuated with the idea of this game. The graphic style should be completely up my alley. I will say, as a game, I give this above a 7 out of 10. It isn't among the best games I've ever played, but this was really enjoyable for what it was, is what I'll say. If you're at all a fan of the old D&D anything, or the old school gamings of sorts, this to me was a lot of fun. Let me see what I'm going to bring next. Oh, actually, that's a duplicate. I got to delete that. That one was a duplicate too. The next one I'm going to bring, Legend of Skyfish. Yeah. Legend of Skyfish by Crescent Moon Games Adventure, E for Everyone. This one's $3.99 to buy. I would encourage people to add this to your wish list, just because wish list is something that I think we underuse. On all systems that offer a wish list, I think anything that we think randomly strikes our interest, we should put on there, because we never know when it's going to literally be 80% off. It happens to games, it happens to apps, it happens to everything sooner or later. So I say put it to your wish list. Sometimes 50% would be enough to get you to look at it closer. But this game, Legend of Swordfish, is very Zelda-ish in its nature. Like, I want to say Zelda 2 game form, but it adds much more to it, is what I'll say. I found this to be at least a lot of fun for like a half hour. Then I just, you know, it didn't hold me past that. It had good basic mechanics to it, is what I'll say. I had fun with it. My oldest son is still playing it. He played it for well over an hour. I know that. He liked the mechanics, he said, of it. Good looking game, really good looking game. $3.99, which I honestly think is a fair price. The main reason I'm saying that is I've seen more than a couple of these games come to the Nintendo Switch, not this one, but I've seen other games from where I've seen on the Switch come on for 70 to 80% more on the Switch, and they still sell good, and people say that they're good games. So I want to try to highlight some of these style games that I'm seeing on Android, because I do believe the better they sell on both systems, the more these games are going to be made sooner or later. I do think the streaming set-top box is only a matter of time where you'll be playing your Android games on it and streaming games right on it in no time at all. It's going to be second nature. The last game-related thing I want to talk about comes with a caveat, comes with a warning, comes with a disclaimer, comes with something of that magnitude. You know how when, here's the thing, you have to be old to really understand this either. Tetris. When you played Tetris back in the day, okay, back when TV was different, internet was different, video games were different, time was different, everything was different back then. When you looked at Tetris, you would end up not playing the game, but instead sitting there during a commercial of a TV show, looking at your couch and looking at the coffee table and thinking, you know, they fit together. You know, if this was a Tetris game and you would start putting the game into the real world, it would take that much brain computational power from you when you weren't even playing the game. That was Tetris. That's what Tetris did to me when I was younger. I would see it everywhere. I would be living it, literally living the ideals of that game. Here's another game that's done the same thing for me, I'm going to say out loud. Stardew Valley. I'm having a immense, immense, immense blast with it. I'm now on my main file, the farthest I've ever been, which is near the end of fall year 2. But I'm always tempted to restart the game because it's fun to restart and have those first day troubles. Stardew Valley Planner is a game I found on reddit.com/r/Stardew Valley. Stardew Valley Planner by Hiugo, H-I-U-G-O. It's in Tools application, not a game. Tools, E for everyone. $2.49 to buy. 2 reviews so far, 4.5 average reviews, 5+ installs. So I'm a ground floor kind of guy. You guys know that already. Current version 1.1.1, 4.4 and up. Here's the thing. If you're a fan of this game, you'll understand how everyone's needs direction, perspective, interaction, experience with this game, Stardew Valley, is whatever you make of it. Literally. Okay, Stardew Valley Planner is a flexible enough tool that I actually found it useful. And I literally found this earlier today, is what I'm going to say. Maybe 10 hours ago, 12 hours ago, something like that. Very useful, functional app. I love the idea that you can sit there on a day and add notes. So literally, I can be sitting at today end game, hypothetically, spring day 20. I might say, okay, now on spring day 24, I need to do this. You can literally just, while you have the app open, hit the arrow time like 3 times and then hit add note. Literally, it's like 3 clicks away. And then you add a note and you say, on this day, I need to do this. So you can actually plan out a schedule, like a journaling type application. But at the same time, it's a research tool where you can get all the information you need on the community center or the people. That handles a lot of the game. Not everything in the game, but that handles a lot in the game. So if you like the idea of playing a management style game where death is not an option, success is just a question of how long will it be till you're successful. As long as you keep playing the game, you'll be successful. This app can help you itemize, organize, and know what's important while playing the game, if you're playing the game. If you are addicted to Stardew Valley in any shape, way, or form, I beg you to let me know. AAA@podnuts.com, mail@podnuts.com, doordoorgeek@gmail.com, podnuts.com, click on the contact link, whatever. I am infatuated with the little things in the game. Like I literally, earlier today, stumbled across a townsfolk in the game who was drunk, passed out at the top of a cliff, who said he was thinking about basically ending his life. today. That's a deep game. I mean, that game, that gets it, that is a deep game, but it's a shallow game at the same time. It's fun. I will say, if you have any app reviews or any suggestions or any feedback you want to send us, please do not hesitate. You can join us live in the chat right now. Ivor is there. Highlander is there. I'm not good at reading and talking at the same time. I know we have an email or two, and I believe we have Tom O is a Patreon who just added his Patreon. Thank you, Tom. We probably have an email or two. I will get to it. Eric and Mark are out. They're more the organizers for the show, and I'm usually the guy that just doesn't stop flapping his lips for a very long period of time. But I do have other shows I got to produce. I got to take care of the network. The number one thing I just ask everyone, support those who support you. Support those who support you. And once again, support those who support you. I will talk to everyone again real soon.
My name is Jeff Halsh. I am the host of Podnuts the Computer Repair Podcast, where we take live calls on the air to answer your questions on running and operating your computer repair business every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/Computer Repair Podcast Live.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.